Well, if you're just joining us this morning, we've been in a series for 4 weeks now called Let's Talk About. And the real premise behind the story, behind this series, is actually taking the time to stop and talk about some things that perhaps we don't often talk about in church, or even perhaps we don't talk about enough. And we've covered a few things in this series. We started off by talking about depression. We talked about that for 2 weeks. We then talked about pornography. Steve Frewish did that. Last week we talked about work. And for our final installment, we're going to be talking about politics. Politics is the topic this morning, and I have to admit I'm a little bit nervous about going there. There's a saying among pastors that if you want your church to shrink, talk about sex, money, and politics. We did sex and money last year and kind of got through relatively unscathed, so I thought, why not go into politics? But in all seriousness, politics is a really topical issue at the moment. Everyone's probably noticed there's billboards going up around, all the different parties are kind of starting to promote, the campaigns are like well and truly on the way, and the landscape is probably wrought with tension. It's the most tension I can remember in my young life, and so I think it's really relevant that we actually talk about it and think about how might the way that we engage in politics as Christians be informed by our faith. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, and just before that I'm going to pray. So if you just bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you that you're alive, that you are the hope of the world, that you've got it in the palm of your hands. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word, that you would give us your perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm not sure about you, but this year, more than ever, I've found myself getting into political conversations, getting into political debates, sharing my opinion, and I thought about why is that, and maybe it's because I'm getting a little bit older, maybe because it's more in your face, perhaps, with like the news apps and Facebook and social media. Maybe it's because there's more tension than there has been in times past. But in my interactions with a lot of people and in the conversations that I'm overhearing, politics seems to be on the tip of people's tongues more than ever. I've never been much of a radio listener throughout my life. I've recently discovered Life FM, which I love and would recommend if you're looking for a good station. But this year, for the first time really, I found the dark world of talkback radio. And man, I got into it. I was listening to my talkback every day, listening to podcasts, thinking about what the next debate was going to come up. And part of me loves it, like I'm drawn to the debate and seeing what other people think. But what I noticed was the more that I listened to talkback radio, the more and more I was becoming enraged by the things I was hearing. And the more that was spilling over into my conversations, I'd find myself having conversations with people and sharing about the latest thing I heard and venting and having these political debates. And it was just getting more and more. And I noticed that politics was on the tip of my tongue. Politics was on the tip of my tongue. And to be honest, although it maybe felt good at the time kind of venting, I'd always leave these conversations feeling a little bit empty, feeling like that didn't really accomplish much, feeling like perhaps a sour taste in my mouth. And I started to think about that, and as I thought about it, I got really challenged, and I thought, man, I'm having more conversations about politics than I am about the gospel. Politics is on the tip of my tongue, where I believe the Lord wants his word on my tongue. He wants hope on my tongue. He wants his redemption on my tongue. He wants me like being a voice of life in these conversations. And I felt really challenged. And perhaps you can identify with that, that you can get sucked into the kind of culture around you. And it seems to be all this talk about what's wrong and what's going wrong and national and labor and policies. And we're missing the point that we're meant to be people carrying a different message of hope. And while I believe it's valid to be politically informed, I really believe that God wants us to be more defined by the gospel. He wants us to be a voice of hope. He wants us to have the word of God bubbling out. He wants us to bring a different perspective to these conversations. He wants us to be more focused on his kingdom, which isn't of this world, than the kingdoms of the world. So a good question to ask yourself is, what is on the tip of my tongue? When I get into conversations and we kind of sit down with people, what seems to bubble up? What seems to come out? When I'm talking with other Christians, are we talking about like the Word of God and what God's doing in the world and the hope we have in Him and what we're praying about and how He's moving and what we're believing for? Or does it just go to political debates about what's wrong in the world? In our conversations with others, are we like a presence of hope? Well, we've got a different message. We've got a different perspective. We're seeing things from a different angle. Or are we very similar to the world around, which is very much topical and complaining and being tossed to and fro by the wind? Good things to think about. You know, when Jesus entered the world, He entered into a place of political turmoil. His people, the Israelites, were under Roman oppression. They were waiting, desperately waiting for 400 years for this promised king, this chosen one, this Messiah to come and to deliver them. And in their mind, they had this warrior-like figure that would come and deal with things at a political level, that would throw out Rome, that would set up the kingdom of Israel, that would rule in power, and everyone would kind of come under their rule. But the Lord had something completely different in mind. He wasn't interested in building a physical kingdom. He came to build a spiritual kingdom where we make Him king of our hearts. And in the submission to Him, He would transform us and we would be these voices of hope and these different people that would bring hope to the culture around. He didn't come to rule or lord over, but He came to build His kingdom of service, love, justice, mercy, and grace. In John 38, Jesus says this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place." And we need to remember that while as Christians we're called to influence culture, we're called to pray for our nation, we're called to seek the good of our towns and our cities, that while we have that calling, our ultimate loyalty and our ultimate hope is a kingdom that's actually not of this world. Our hope isn't in a political system. And the answer is not politics. The answer is Christ. The answer is Jesus. He's the only person that deals with sin. He's the only person that deals with the issue in the human heart. He's the only person that reconciles us back to God. He's the only person that gives us a hope beyond this life. So and although we should look to influence culture, our primary focus must remain on the gospel and on His kingdom. Jesus gave us all this commission before He left this world. He said this, "Therefore, go and make disciples or apprentices of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You know, that there is our primary mission. That there is our primary focus. That there is our primary reference to go into the world, to share the gospel, to make disciples. And yes, we should be politically informed. We should use our voice. We should use our vote. Some of us are called to those spaces. But we need to be wary that we don't get sidetracked from the main thing, from the true mission, that we're actually building a kingdom that is not of this world. And in fact, in some of the countries where the political systems are the worst are the countries where the church is thriving the most. Think about China. It's thriving up. The hope is not a political system. It's in the kingdom of God. So that's my first thing. Let's stay focused on the main thing. Stay focused on the main thing. In saying that, we do live in a world and we are called to engage it and influence culture in a way we can. So in this landscape of politics, how might we engage with that God's way? So I'm going to talk about this morning, and I want to talk about four keys, if you're taking notes, to engaging politics God's way. The first key to engaging politics God's way is to pray for our government and our politicians. This is Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor, and this is what he says. I urge then, first of all, saying this is of highest importance, this is top of your list, that petitions, prayers, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people. He said, your life shall be marked by prayer. And then he says this, so talking specifically for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and happiness. We have a duty as Christians to be praying for people in authority, to be praying for government leaders, to be praying for local government, to be praying for national government. The government of a nation will be probably the biggest predictor of the prosperity of that nation. So all the more important to take up our mandate to pray for those in authority that we might live peaceful and quiet lives, as Paul said. Ask yourself that question, how often do I pray for the government? Just think on that for a moment. How often do I pray for the government? An even better question to ask yourself is, do I pray for the government more than I complain about the government? How is my prayer to complaining ratio? And if I'm honest, my prayer to complaining ratio is much more dominated by complaining. But what if we flip that and we all committed to be a praying church that would pray for our government? What if when we watched the news and heard radio and we were outraged at the things that were going on, we channeled that into prayer and prayed that the Lord would move in our nation, and we blessed our politicians and we prayed for unity in that house and we prayed he'd rise up Christian leaders? What if we all took up our mandate to pray? What if every single Christian began praying for the government every day? I wonder, would it be different? Would it be different? Because the reality is that it's a spiritual battle. Often we get frustrated with people. We talk about Hipkins and Seymour and Luxon and Tamaki. But the reality is there are spiritual forces behind what is going on. There are spiritual powers, there are spiritual deities, there are spiritual rulers that really are in control of what we're seeing. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. People aren't the enemy. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in all the heavenly realms. You know, we need to remember who the enemy actually is. It's not people. It's not politicians. There are spiritual rulers behind that. And a spiritual problem needs a spiritual solution. I'm going to say that again. A spiritual problem needs a spiritual solution. That's why prayer is what will truly change our nation. A praying church is what will truly change our nation. And there are promises in the scripture that as we submit our lives to the Lord, as we turn our hearts to him, he promises, and we pray, he promises to heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people, that's me and you, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. That's the first thing. Humble yourself, lower yourself, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He's saying, focus on you. Get your life right. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, one thing I've noticed is that often we like to make things about external issues. We like to focus out there. We like to talk about, this is the problem. It's the government. Oh, this is happening in my workplace. Oh, if they only did this different. We like to externalize everything when the Lord actually wants us to look down and look what's going on in here. What's happening in my heart? What's happening in here? He wants us to look internally and fix what we can and get our lives right so that we're in an actual position to get on our knees and pray for others. You know, let's be a church that prays. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for our political leaders. Let's pray for policies. Let's pray for the things that we hear in the news. Let's pray. Let's remember it's not about people, and let's look internally instead of externalizing what the real issue is. The second key to doing politics God's way is to promote unity. Promote unity. You know, nothing causes division like politics. Politics and fear are the two biggest things that cause division. Didn't we see that during COVID? Nothing causes division like politics. Politics polarizes people. It creates an us and them mentality. It labels people. It alienates people. Whereas the gospel is always looking to unite people. It's looking to include people. It's looking to bring people in. It's looking to bring unity. You know, when the gospel first started to spread, that ancient world had a class system where rich and poor wouldn't really associate with each other. They just wouldn't. They wouldn't operate in those circles. But after the gospel began to spread, rich and poor, slave and free, every different people group, every tongue would gather together to worship the risen Christ. They would eat together at the table. They would share a meal, which was completely unthinkable at that time. They would share their resources. The gospel was like this profound witness to the world around of unity. It brought people together, every race, every tribe, every tongue, every ethnic group, every class. It came and it united people under Christ. It was a witness to the world. And the unity that we have within the church is meant to be one of the things that speaks loudest that something's different. That something's different, that there's unity here. That in amidst the diversity, there's unity. And it's something that we as a church need to strive for. We need to strive for unity because it's of utmost importance to the Lord. Now, does that mean that we have to agree on everything? No, it doesn't. We can agree to disagree on a lot of things. Does it mean we have to be the same? No, it doesn't. But we have to recognize that our common faith in Christ goes beyond our political dispositions. Our faith and our unity in Christ supersedes our political dispositions. And if we go back to COVID, there was a lot of talk about God being grieved around certain decisions that churches made, and perhaps, but I believe what grieved God more was the level of hate, vitriol, backbiting, unforgiveness, disunity, slander that was happening within God's church. We got a wake-up call. We were meant to be different to the world around. We were meant to agree to disagree and say, man, I do not agree with you, but my unity to Christ is greater than our disagreement. You know, Andy Stanley would say it this way, we can disagree politically, but we're called to love unconditionally. We can disagree politically, but we're called to love unconditionally. And church needs to be a safe space where we can share different views, where we can have different political opinions, where we can see things different, but our unity in Christ molds us and binds us together and is greater than the differences we may have. Now, obviously, there's some essentials that we have. The Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the boundaries of what it means to be a Christian. We've got a statement of faith at our church that's not up for grabs. But outside of that, we can agree to disagree. We can agree to see things differently. And we can actually take a posture where we'll sit and listen to different things. Because where you sit determines where you stand. How you've been formed, the cultures that you're in, the workplace that you're in, that will determine your perspective. And we can actually learn a lot from people seeing things differently. So let's pursue unity. Jesus said this of the church. When praying to the Father for the church, he said this in John 17. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then this is what he says. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So for our church, like, let's be radically united. Let's be a picture to the world around where it's like, man, there's people of different ages, different cultures, different vocations, different economic backgrounds, but they come together and they're united because Jesus is in it. Like, let's dare to have robust debate and challenge each other, but let's fight for unity. Fight for unity. The third key to doing politics God's way is to recognize people are more important than politics. People are more important than politics. As Christians, we are called to influence people and ultimately win people to Christ. One thing I've learned is that it's very hard to influence someone while outraging them at the same time. It's very hard to influence someone that you're outraging at the same time. So we need to be wise around how we share our political opinions. Do it with tact. Do it with wisdom. Yes, there are things, there might be a time where we need to take a stand on something. We do need to be clear about our convictions, but let's not burn unnecessary relational bridges by voicing political opinions that we didn't really need a voice anyway. The person is more important than winning a debate. Seeing someone be saved is more important than sharing a debate and completely burning a bridge with someone. Let's be wise. We're called to be wise. You know, at times in my life, I've gotten outraged about the things I've heard, and I've gone on Facebook and I've shared a link and I've been like, this is happening. And there's been some people being like, yeah, it's so bad. But then I've noticed that it's actually really alienated and offended people that I've been praying for and wanting to win to Christ. And I've come away thinking, like, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was that post worth building that bridge? Maybe sometimes it is. Maybe it's time to take a stand, but maybe sometimes it isn't. Maybe, like, we need to be wise around how we share our political opinions. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, though I am free, I have liberty in Christ and belong to no one. I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Paul is saying, like, I'm on a mission. Yes, I have this freedom, but I'm willing to lay down my freedom to say what I want, to do what I want, because I'm more concerned about seeing people be saved. What if we had that same posture where it was more about seeing people saved and brought into the kingdom than sharing our political opinions and burning bridges before we even get the chance to engage with people? Let's be wise. Is this okay this morning? The final key to doing politics God's way is to recognize your vote matters. Your vote matters. Our vote matters and how we vote matters. We live in a country where we're privileged to vote. Not all countries get to vote. We live in a democracy. And we should steward that and take that seriously. And we should look to vote. It's not always possible because no political party completely represents the kingdom of God. And we do need to be strategic about our vote. But we should vote with our faith convictions in mind. And we should vote asking ourselves the question, is what is most likely going to influence our country in a direction towards God? What is going to move us more into a way of things that God values? That is what should be informing our vote. You know, we should take it seriously. We should research the policies. You know, do not vote for who you've always voted for. Older people in this room, don't vote for who you've always voted for because you voted for them your whole life. Research the policies. Don't just vote who your family votes for or who generations before you voted for. Don't just vote because one party throws out a hook and it benefits you on one thing and you think, oh, that suits me, I'm going to vote for them. No, 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 no. Go back and say, what is best for our country? What would God have me do? What is most close to my faith convictions? And steward your vote and vote in a way that's informed by that. We might come to different conclusions on that. That's okay, but let's all pray. Let's all be led by the Spirit. Let's all take it seriously. And let's all vote for... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. I'm actually running. No. But hey, let's not waste our vote. You know, use it wisely. It's a privilege to vote. Vote wisely. So just as we come to a close, I just want to recap where we've been this morning. Today we've been talking about politics, and we started off by sharing politics is relevant. Politics does matter. We are called to influence culture. But our primary focus, our primary energy, our primary pursuit, our primary voice needs to be on the kingdom of God and the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we want to have bubbling up out of us. So we are a voice of hope. We are a different perspective. We're seeing the world differently. We're looking at it through an eternal perspective. That is what God wants of Christians, salt and light, people with a different message, people that are just bubbling over because they're full of the word of God, which is a good message. We then moved on to looking at how we might engage politics God's way, and the first thing was prayer. We have a mandate to pray for our nation. We have a mandate to pray for our government. Even if you don't like our government, we have a mandate to pray. Let's be praying. Pray that Christians would be risen up. Pray that there'd be a Christian influence. Pray for wisdom. Pray for unity. Pray, like, if you're hearing things coming out in policies, pray against them. But pray to the Lord that he would influence on that level. The second thing we talked about was to promote unity. Politics polarizes. The gospel brings people together. Let's promote unity. Let's promote unity within our church. Let's be a witness to the world around that, man, church is different because people can agree to disagree and still love one another because Jesus is at the center. The third thing was to remember to be wise about our political opinions. Let's not burn relational bridges unnecessarily by being quick to share a political opinion that's going to polarize or alienate someone. Like, let's be wise. Jesus said, I've called you to be fishers of men. You know, fishing, it requires different bait. It requires intelligence. Let's not be brazen. But also, when there's time to take a stand, take a stand. But be wise on it. The final key was to steward your vote. Steward your vote. Recognize it's a gift. And steward it. Research it. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit about it. And vote. And just finally, guys, the election is going to happen on October the 14th. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. And I've got news for you. There's still going to be division. There's still going to be issues. Society's still not going to be great at times. The enemy's still going to be at work in our world. But we have a promise that God is building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what? Peter said 2,000 years ago, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So we can live in great hope. We can live in great hope. Yes, we should be doing all we can to make the country the best we can, but our hope is not in a political system or an election outcome. Our hope is in the risen Christ, who died and rose again and is seated in heavenly places, and we're seated with him, and he's coming back, and he's restoring creation, and he's redeeming the world, and he's saving each and every one of us, and he's promised that he will never leave us. We have a hope that is unchanging. We have a hope. We are people of hope. So regardless of what's happening politically, let's be people of hope. Let's recognize that it actually doesn't really matter who wins, because Christ is still coming back. He's the one that's going to redeem and restore everything. Let's be a culture of hope. Just want to finish by standing, if we stand to our feet and pray, and I'll invite the team to come up this morning. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, that we have a certain, sure hope that is an anchor to our souls, that you're coming back to make every wrong right, that you're redeeming and restoring your entire creation, that you have set us apart and given us your Spirit, and you promise to be with us through every trial, through every storm, that you will build your church, and no political system or ruler or plan of the enemy or chaos going on in our culture can stand against it, because it is written. Lord, the best days for your kingdom are ahead. I see days of people being saved in great numbers. People being baptized. I see churches full. I see just rejoicing, because the best days for this church are ahead. The best days for the kingdom of God are ahead. And it doesn't matter what's going on around. You will build your church. And our hope is in you. And so, Lord, let us carry that hope. As we go into our workplaces and there's just unrest around what's happening politically, and there's fear around what the government's doing and what the latest policies are and the way our country's heading, let us be a voice of hope that we have the gospel, that this is the only answer, that it's the only guarantee, it's the only rock that we can build our lives on. Let us be hope, Lord. Let us be filled with your word so that it would bubble out of us, so that we're different, so we have a different spirit. And Lord, within that, we want the best for our country. Lord, and we lift up this election to you, Father, and we pray your will would be done. Lord, we pray your will would be done. We pray you would bless our country. Lord, we pray that you would give favor to the parties and the people that represent you. In Jesus' name, amen.